Could it be said of you today that you're following the Lord wholly, wholly, completely? How would you answer that question if somebody walked up to you and said, "Are you following the Lord wholly, completely, without reservation?" Will there be anything that you might have to deal with in your life because of that? God expects us to follow Him wholly. Amen? Completely. With all of our heart. And there's a man in the Bible, it was said about him that he followed the Lord that way. And I want you to turn, if you will now, to our text verses today in the book of Joshua chapter 14. And the title of the message is Wholly Following the Lord. Completely and totally wholly following the Lord. Joshua 14, and we'll begin with verse 6 and read through verse 15. Joshua 14, beginning with verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." Back then, Moses was leading, now Joshua was leading. And so Caleb is reminding him of what was done, what was said, and the promise that was made 40 years, 45 years actually, previous to that. "So thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." You remember there were 12 spies sent out to spy out the land. They came back and gave a report, and only Joshua and Caleb gave a positive report. The other two gave a negative report and said it can't be done. They're giants, they're fences, all of that. But he said, "My brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. They were discouragers." God save us from discouragers in our churches, amen? "But I wholly followed the Lord my God," Caleb said. That's quite a statement. "But I, Caleb, wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years of age. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. And therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, that is the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Here's an 85-year-old man who's saying, "I'm going to go up and win the battle and drive them out." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. He was the chief giant, and the land had rest from war. Well, this is a biblical story of a great man by the name of Caleb. And he reminds us of the importance of following the Lord completely and wholly. The Bible says in Luke 9:12, No man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. God wants us to be wholly committed to Him, to grow in grace and knowledge, and to serve God totally, completely, without reservation. Caleb was that kind of man. That kind of man had to be a man of faith. Caleb was first a man of faith. You see, Caleb believed what God said. I want to ask you today, do you believe what God says? Do you believe this book, the Holy Bible? Caleb believed God's Word. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. You'll have to put up with my coughing today. I still have bronchitis. About the third week of it. Brother Andrew, would you bring me that water over there by my... Joshua chapter 1. And here's what Caleb was basing that on. Thank you. He said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Now watch the language here. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now God had already promised them that He was going to give them the land. Agreed? That's what He said right here. He promised them He would give them the land. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And he went on to describe some of the boundaries and all. But he was believing what God said by faith. And that's why he was willing to wholly serve God. If we believe what God says, it'll free us up to serve Him with all of our heart. And he believed that. It was because of faith. Now, there's some people that don't get saved. They hear the gospel over and over. And they will not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why is that? I think one of the reasons is they just do not exercise faith in the Word of God. The Word of God tells you, sinner friend, that you're lost. The Bible tells you you're on your way to hell. The Bible tells you that you'll be judged for your sins. But the Bible tells you the good news that Jesus has died and thank God paid for all of your sins. Every last one of them, past, present, and future. But you have to, by faith, receive that. If you're trying to work it out on your own, you can't do it. You have to, by faith, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and come to Him trusting what He said. Jesus cannot lie. Jesus has never lied. He's not an Indian giver. He gives you eternal life. He never takes it back. Jesus Christ promises that all who come to Him believing that He died for their sins, that He will save them. It takes faith to appropriate that. Anybody in this building that got saved had to believe that. I wasn't there when Jesus died. I didn't see Him after He was raised from the dead. But I believe that He died for my sins. I believe He arose. I believe He's at the right hand of the Father. I believe He's coming again. And I believe I've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, simply taking God at His Word. And we can take God at His Word. Some people have problems with faith in their prayers. They pray and then they think, well, I don't think God will answer that prayer. You need to pray with more faith than that. Amen? When we pray, we have to believe that God will answer our prayers. Now, I know it's always good to say, nevertheless, thy will be done. And we have a good example of that. Jesus prayed that in the garden, didn't He? So I believe it's all right to pray that way, but we have to pray by faith. We have to pray and ask God to do things and expect God to do those things. And if we don't have faith, God's not going to honor it. Have faith in God and pray that way. And don't ever quit praying. Just keep on praying until God breaks through and answers your prayer. There are a lot of Christians that have no faith, and they worry all the time. I grant you there's some worry warts right here today. You came in this building worrying about things. Worrying about things in the future. Worrying about your health. Worrying about your family. Worrying about finances. Worrying about what's going to happen to our country. I don't know what all you might be worried about, but there are a lot of people that are worrying rather than trusting the Lord. Would you turn with me just a moment to Matthew 6, and let's be reminded that we ought to be happy Christians and not worrywarts and not be fretting over things, but trusting the Lord and believing what God says and taking Him at His word. And I believe what God says in Matthew 6, verse 25. Look at what He says. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He said, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about it. Are you worried about these things tomorrow? Don't worry about it. Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Look around and look at the little sparrows that just eat away. They seem to do pretty good. God feeds them, He says. Are you not much better than the sparrows? Which of you can take, by taking thought, add one cubit unto his stature? Why take you thought for raiment, clothes? He says, consider the lilies. Look at the lilies of the field. How they grow. They don't toil. They toil not. Neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little what? Faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the unsaved, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. How many of you believe God already knows what you have need of? Say amen. Sure He does. But here's what we are to be doing. Not worrying and fretting about all of those things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what Caleb was doing. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And He's telling us that we ought to just trust God all the time and believe that God's going to take care of us. And that takes faith. What are you worried about today? Quit worrying about it. Quit letting it get you down or getting you depressed. Trust God for the future. Trust God to meet every need of your life because He's already promised that He's going to do that. It takes faith to please God. You know why some people don't give to God? It's because they're sort of halfway Christians. It's the fact that they are not wholly committed unto God. The reason you don't tithe is not because you don't have enough money. The reason you don't give to God is not because you don't have enough money. The reason you don't give to God, and every member of a church ought to be tithers and givers to the work of God, would somebody say amen to that? And I can tell you the reason you don't do it. You don't trust God. You don't have enough faith in God. Because God's already told us to trust Him and give, and He would take care of us. He would take it, press it down, and God will just let it abundantly flow over. And do we believe God or do we not believe God? See, everybody here ought to believe God. And if you believe God, you're going to give 10% of your income as a starting place. And you're going to say, I know God cannot lie. God has promised to meet my need. God has told me that's the right thing to do. The reason you don't do it is very simple. You don't have faith. And because you don't have faith, you're not following the Lord wholly. Another problem we have is we don't have faith in our circumstances. A lot of people go all to pieces when things don't go right. A lot of people panic. I've seen some people who seem to be very godly, committed Christians until they come to the end of the way when they're having some serious physical problems and they perhaps have been told they're going to die and they go all to pieces and they seemingly have no peace about death. Romans 8:28 is in the Bible, isn't it? We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purposes. Is that true or is that not true? Well, I believe it happens to be true. In whatever circumstances you have in your life today, you may not understand them. You may not like them. You may wonder, why me, God? But we have to have faith and believe God allows these things to happen. It was brought to my attention this week, in fact, yesterday, that a dear missionary, Josh Wesson, who was a missionary to the Dominican Republic, they were on a trip with some young people, and they were down at the ocean, and they went swimming in the ocean. He's 41 years of age. He went out in the ocean, rescued two boys. The third boy was drowning. He couldn't get loose from him, and he and that boy drowned. And he left a wife and four children. A wife and four children. How is this dear lady going to get through this? How would you get through? How would I get through something like that? How would we get through it? I'll tell you, there's only one way, faith. Believing that God is going to use those circumstances, and I've already heard that some souls have been saved and people have come to Christ. And I know that God will use it, but she's going to have a challenge. She has to believe that, and I believe she will believe that. I remember we had three little boys drowned that went to our church. They rode our buses and bus ministry when I lived in Indiana. And there was a college group that was supposed to come by and take them to the college campus for an activity. The college group bus broke down, just like the Baptist buses. And so they were late coming, and the boys got on a bicycle, went on a pond behind one of the boys' house. They were neighbors out in the country. And they decided, one of them decided to ride double on a bicycle. They broke through the ice, the two boys. And the other boy went there to try to save them. He got under the ice, and they could not get back up from under the ice. They called me and wondered if we had had them at the church for any reason, and I said no. And they searched throughout the day and the night, and the next day they found them. They discovered what had happened to them. You know, that's a hard thing to understand. It was very difficult for some people to understand that. But I can tell you that the last count I had, somewhere around 33 to 35 people had been saved because those three boys drowned. And those three boys, by the way, had been saved not too long before that in our church. They had come to Christ through the bus ministry and gotten saved. They went home to be with the Lord, but because of the tragedy and because of those things, 33, 35, and who knows how many by now, got saved because God allowed that to happen. I want to tell you that God has a purpose for your undesirable circumstance. And you have to trust and believe in the Lord. And Caleb didn't have real good circumstances there wandering in the wilderness with that bunch of backslidden Baptists that was there. But he went on and did what God told him to do. Well, I point out that the victory that he was going to have was conditional. The victory was conditional. He had to trust the Lord and follow him wholly. And go back and look in chapter 14, look at verse 8. But he said, I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 14, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. It is all predicated on the fact he was going to have that mountain. He said, I want that mountain. I'm going to have that mountain. But it was all predicated on the fact that he had wholly followed the Lord. If he hadn't have done that, he would have been like the other 10 spies. He would have quit on God, went back, and been totally defeated and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years without any victory. All of the people 20 years of age and above died in the wilderness. Only those below that and that generation and Joshua and Caleb came out of there the way they did. And that's why it's so important for us. Do you want victory in your life? You're going to have to follow God wholly. None of this halfway street. None of this halfway Christianity. God expects us to follow Him wholly. What does it mean to follow God wholly? Well, we're very familiar with Romans chapter 12. But I think this gives us a clue as to how we are to follow God completely and follow God wholly. See if you've done this. See if this is what you've done. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, we're so familiar with this verse, but look at it again, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, not W-H-O-L-L-Y, but H-O-L-Y, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. There's part of following God holy. Don't be conformed to this world. I'm amazed that some people who call themselves Christians who are going along with some of the baby killing and some of the same-sex marriage philosophy. Amen. And they call themselves Christians. Amen. Well, my friend, that's being conformed to this world system. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. He goes on to talk about our different gifts in ministering. And he says in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Love like we ought to love. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that stick-like glue, super glue, to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Are we taking the test? With brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them that persecute you. Oh my, that's tough. Bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Don't be jealous and envious. Weep with them that weep. Be in the same mind one toward another. So on and so forth. He just gives us a few ideas there of what it means to completely give yourself to God, present your bodies holy to Him, a living sacrifice that is a holy lifestyle, and live for God totally. Present your body a living sacrifice. Well, how do you do that, preacher? Well, these are some of the ways. I could mention a few others. If you're really wholly committed to God, I think that you'll have daily devotion. I think we'd be shocked if I asked, and people were honest, for a show of hands, and I'm not asking you to do that, but I think we'd be shocked if I asked for a show of hands of people here that have daily devotions, Bible reading, and prayer. I believe we'd all be shocked and surprised. You cannot wholly follow the Lord unless you spend time daily in the Word of God. You cannot wholly follow the Lord unless you're on your knees in prayer, believing God, and being confessing your sins and being freshly filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot wholly follow God without daily devotions in your life. Some of you today need to make a commitment to God and say, I've never done that, but I'm going to. Or I did that, I was doing it, and I got away from it, I'm going to go back to it. You need to have daily devotions. Another thing I think it means is you get rid of that pet sin that you have in your life. There is a sin that doth so easily beset us. What is yours? You know, and I know what mine is. You know what yours is. The Holy Spirit tells us, and if we stay in the Word of God, God will reveal that to us, what it may be. And it means that we ought to get rid of any pet sin that we have in our life. Some of you are trying to hang on to some habit, some sin, something in your life that you know God has told you does not belong there. You're not wholly yielded to the Lord. And you're not going to receive the total peace and blessings that God intends for you to have until you come to that place. Another thing that I think, and there's so many different ones that came to my mind in studying this, was that if we're wholly committed to the Lord, we're going to find a place to serve God. You're going to look for a place to serve God. You're going to bother the preacher or some staff worker until you find a place where you can serve God. And I know there are many ways we can serve God, but everybody who is wholly committed unto God will want to serve God. And you will find some place in your Christian life where you will serve God. Another thing I noticed about old Caleb that I really liked was he kept his eye on the future. He kept his eye on the future. Remember, he was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. That was not a very pleasant experience. I can imagine if somebody woke up to him and said, "Hey, Caleb, aren't you sick and tired of all this? Aren't you discouraged? Don't you want to scream? Are you just absolutely perturbed about all that's happening here in the wilderness?" And I can hear him say, "No, not really. I'm really not." "No, you're not. Why not?" "I've got my eyes on the place, that mountain. I want that mountain. I know there's some milk and honey there. I know there's some grapes of Escol there. And I'm headed there, and I'm going to win that battle. And I want that mountain. I'm going to get it." You see, he was focused on the right thing. He wasn't focused on these things down here. He was focused on the future. Where is your focus today? Our focus ought to be on the future. Our focus ought to be on heaven. Our focus ought to be on the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep our focus right for the glory of God. And he had that exactly right. Adoniram Judson, as he went to the foreign field and just didn't have any converts for years. And they wanted to call him back home, the board. And they were talking to him and saying some things and asking him about the future. And this was what Adoniram Judson said. He said, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." And I can tell you today, my dear friend, our future is as bright as the promises of God. And we can name a whole lot of promises. We don't have time, but we have them. Another thing that he recognized, and he talks about that in verse 12 of our text. He said, "Now therefore give me this mountain wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims," that's the giants, "were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I'll be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." He said, "I know there are some enemies, and I know there are some giants in the land. But I know, God being my help, I can drive them out and I can win the battle. I can win the battle." And friend, you and I have enemies. You know you have enemies today. What are some of those enemies? The world's your enemy. Absolutely. The world works against Christianity in every fashion, in every form, in every way, to try to get us to yield to that, like Paul was talking about, warning us not to do that. The world, then the flesh. You know who I have more trouble with than anybody else? Or what I have more? My flesh. And, you know, don't look at me real holy, because you do too. Everybody in this building fights the flesh. One way or the other, we fight the flesh. And so that's our enemy, this old flesh, battling it every day. That's why we need to put the armor of God on every day. Put it on every day, consciously, in your mind, put it on. We fight the world, the flesh, and yes, we fight the devil. Didn't Paul say something about those things? The world, the system, the flesh, and the devil. You know, they're demons. They're those fallen angels that are demons that are always giving us the hard time. Demons are real. Demons cannot indwell us and control us. But they can sure give us a devil of the time. They really can work against us. We have to learn to resist the devil and name some verses of Scripture and resist Satan. Resist the devil and he'll do what? Flee from you. How do you do that? How did Jesus do it? With Scripture. Take the Scripture, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. We have all of these enemies. But thank God we can win the battle. In verse 14, he says, "Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." You see, he got Hebron. He got that mountain. God gave him that mountain. He kept his eyes on the Lord. He walked wholly before the Lord, and that's what you and I need to do. Are there any giants in your life? What kind of giants do you have in your life? Is it a marriage giant? Is it drugs, alcohol? You're fighting those giants? Is it immorality? Is it pornography, lust? Is it some affairs you're involved in? Is it bitterness? Is it health problems? Is it jealousy? Is it envy? Is it an unwillingness to forgive people? I don't know what your giants are, but I can tell you through Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can win the battle over. You can win the battle today. We don't have to be defeated. Now, what were the results of Caleb having that attitude? What were the results of his serving God wholly? Well, Caleb won. Verse 15, and the name of Hebron was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. Arba was the main giant and the leader of the giants at that time. And then he says, and I love this last phrase here, and the land had rest from war. He went in and won the battle, and he had peace and rest from the war. Isn't that what we want to do in our Christian life, is have peace and joy and walk in the fellowship with the Father like He's taught us we ought to do in 1 John, to have that fellowship? Well, if we follow God wholly, God will bring us into the place of rest, starting first with getting saved and then following the Lord wholly with all of our heart. God will do that. I think of the old song, Trust and Obey. And the chorus, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That's exactly what Caleb did. He trusted God and obeyed God. Now, as a lost person, you need to have faith and follow Christ as your Savior. But then as a saved person, you need to follow Christ totally surrendered, wholly surrendered, every phase and facet of your life surrendered to God in every way. That's what God expects out of us. If you want a long life and a life of grace and a life of goodness, then follow God totally and wholly. Do what God says. Stay in the Word and do what He says to do. And the lost just need to have faith and believe on the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not complicated. God's made it easy. You have to know you're a sinner and believe in Jesus Christ. And I think we need to be reminded of some lessons. One is, don't be a borderline Christian. We have too many borderline Christians in our churches today. Too many are borderline, and they don't need to be borderline. And then be encouraged on your pilgrimage journey, going through trials, having tough times, disappointments, all of that. But remember what Caleb remembered, that his inheritance was guaranteed. And I guarantee you, heaven's going to be my home someday. And when the days get rough and things get tough, I just have to look in the future and say, hey, I'm going to heaven. One of these days, I'm going to heaven. And I'll never have any more tears and no heartaches. And John the Revelator tells us that so clearly. Another lesson I believe we can remember is, you're never too old. Listen, so many senior citizens quit on God. They could be doing so much for God. He was 85 years of age. You are never too old to make new conquests of faith. Find out something God wants you to do, and by faith, get out there and do it by the grace of God. And then another lesson is, I believe God wants to give all of us the victory. He really wants to give us a victorious Christian life. But what we have to do is surrender and serve God wholly. I ask you in closing today, are you serving God wholly? Let's stand, please. We'll have our invitation. Whatever you need to do, maybe to join the church, to rededicate your life, to pray about something, to make some fresh commitments, or to come and be saved. The way you do that is just step out and we'll show you how to be saved. If you're here, it's a step of faith to believe Jesus died for you. Receive Him as your Savior. And we as Christians need to yield to God our lives wholly. Some of you know that's not the case with you now. Do something about it. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the life of Caleb, who said, I want that mountain. In 85 years of age, he got that mountain because he wholly lived for You, and he had faith. Give us that kind of attitude. We'll give you the glory for the results. Bring us to that place of victory and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.